In our gospel reading for today, we will talk about perseverance in prayer. And in our Old Testament reading, we have an example of perseverance in clinging to God in the flesh, in the person of Jacob. We read from Genesis chapter 32, beginning at verse 22. The same night Jacob arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket. And Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me grow, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered." This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from the second epistle to Timothy. It's found on page 1277 in your pew Bibles. And we read 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. "As for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. Luke, found on page 1121. And we read Luke 18, beginning at verse 1. Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Give me justice against my adversary.' For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, 'Though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says? And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you. From God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus. Amen. My text is based on your gospel epistle lesson for today, where the Apostle Paul tells Timothy, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. And continuing a little later, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. This is our text. If you've ever had what you thought was a really good idea and did it and found out that you were an idiot, raise your hand. Your ideas aren't always that good, are they? Now, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand, but just to contemplate, if you will. Have you ever had what you thought was a really good idea, shared it with someone who's older than you, more experienced in life with you, who maybe even tried it before, and who said that would be really dumb, and then did it anyway? You don't have to raise your hands. I know the answers. Yeah, we can think something is good when it isn't. And we're awfully good at rationalizing things and coming up with good excuses for doing things that aren't that good. That's a sin at work in us. And it's not just at work in you and in me. It's at work in everyone throughout this whole world. And while there is truth, and truth that has been given to us, most of the world doesn't believe it. Quite a number of years ago, and I've shared this with you before, but a group that does religious polling called the Barna Group went around and surveyed a bunch of people just to find out if anyone believes there's absolute moral truth. And in this American culture, the results were that barely 25% of our culture believes that absolute moral truths exist. That was a number of years ago. A more recent poll that was taken simply asked the question, what ought to determine morality? And the answers that came back was that roughly 65% of our culture believes that whatever a particular culture believes is good and right, that's what's good and right. Again, absolutes don't exist, at least in the minds of most of the people that you and I know. But God willing, not in us. Being here today because we think truth does exist, and we have good reason to think so. Way back in the day, when God chose his people Israel, he came down on Mount Sinai, and in tablets of stone, with his own hand, he wrote down at least 10 commandments. There's more. but that are key to our understanding of life and how we conduct it. And then one day, a little over 2,000 years ago, he didn't just give the world a couple of pieces of stone with his words. The Word became flesh, as the Gospel of John states it, and made his dwelling among us, full of grace and truth. Yes, God came to earth. That's what we believe. And while Jesus was on earth, speaking of what we would today call the Old Testament, as recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, says that all Scripture, he didn't come to abolish, but he came to fulfill, and not the smallest dot, not the least stroke of a pen would disappear until all has been accomplished. The words of Jesus echoed somewhat in our text for this morning. All Scripture is inspired by God. Or literally, God breathed. It is profitable for reproof, for correction, for teaching, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be equipped for every good work. It looks like just a book. And you know, if you just go out of the church this morning and go into the narthex, we got lots of books. It looks like just words printed on a page. But that's not what it is. It's the breath of God. What we find written here is the same thing that God, if you were to appear in our midst today, would still be saying to us. He said it through Moses. He said it through the prophets. And then finally, he said it himself again some 2,000 years ago. What we see is that throughout history, God keeps coming to the world in various forms, sometimes through other men, sometimes in the flesh. But he always keeps saying the same thing. And so, we've gathered here today because what he said it to us thousands of years ago, we believe he's still saying to us today. We want that confidence and security. We don't want the Word of God to be changing. But not only because it gives us guidance and direction as to how we are to conduct our lives here, but especially because it gives us a sure and certain hope to depend upon, not just in this life, but in the life to come. In the world today, which doesn't believe that there's any absolute truths in terms of how we are to conduct our moral lives, sadly, it doesn't also know if there's any absolutes when it comes to what happens to us when we die. You know, years ago, a guy by the name of James Kennedy developed an evangelism program, and it was built off of two questions, one of which is, if you were to die tonight, would you be certain that you're going to be in heaven? And while even today, roughly 70% of all people in the U.S. claim to be Christian, and most people are asked that question, They're not sure. They're not sure if there's a heaven or a hell. And they're not sure if there is, that they're absolutely going to be there. But we have a word of God that has been made certain. Not only did Jesus Christ come into the world and take on our human flesh, but he died. And as he told his disciples, and as he told us, he rose again. And that's not just some legend. He appeared to, as we read in the Apostle Paul, at least 500 people at one time. A bunch of disciples locked in a room because they were scared and didn't know what to think. Suddenly become bold proclaimers of his resurrection because they saw him in the flesh. It may look just like a book, but it isn't just a book. It is the word of the God who made us. It is the word of the God who redeemed us. It's the word of the God who one day we're going to stand before. And he came to earth, and he died, and he rose. And when we stand before him one day, it might not be in fear or in anxiousness or in worry. But when we stand before him, he wants us, according to his word, to be able to stand with confidence. Not a confidence that's built upon our own righteousness, because the good that we do, or that we think we're going to do, often ends up not being so good. But rooted in the fact that Christ has paid for our sins, given us his righteousness, that we may not fear, but stand before God in confidence, knowing that our deliverance has arrived. What a joy it is to know what will be for you and for me and for anybody who puts their trust in this word that we have in Scripture. There is truth to be known. But let it not be known just to we who have gathered here. We live in a world that is constantly questioning truth, constantly changing what's good and what's right. If you will, making it up as they go, hoping for the best. We don't need to hope for what is best or guess at what is good or guess as to what is to come in this life. We have that word made more certain in the word of God we have in Scriptures, made certain and guaranteed to us by God himself, who came here, who died, who rose again, and will come again to take us to his home. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.